You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7. The entire crew is here. We just talked about in the pre-game show. Well, it's not a pregame show because it's not a game, but y'all know what I mean. We just happened to have a random video conversation that went pretty well. So the crew is enthused and ready to go. My man Jay Moore is in the building, the voice of Indianapolis, aka Mr. Kansas City Mac. How are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there, man. It is what it is. You know, hopefully the second part of the week goes a lot better than the first. But you know what? I woke up this morning, so it's a lot better than a lot of folks. So it's all good.
Preach that word. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. I feel you, man. DJ Diff, what's happening, brother? Good to see you. Everything good your way?
Good. Am I glitching?
You sure are.
Check before get started.
Yeah, you might hop out and hop back in, bro. If that helps, just a little glitch
okay,
on it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all good. My man Longevity live from the Bringing Down the Band headquarters. Still waiting on that green old school lamp that he has. Maybe one day I'll get it. How are you, sir?
Well, you're a grown man. You can buy yourself one of your own.
You know. Yeah, you're right. I'm an adult.
I'm doing all right, man. I've had this lamp since I was probably second grade.
I know, like, I ain't getting it now. It really means something. Yeah.
I've had it for a very long time. So
I feel you.
It's for my plant. I have one plant and it's the sun for the plant. So, you know, because
I'm gonna look online, man. They probably have replicas. Yours is legit though. Got that old school vibe. You can tell that one got some age on it. So I'll see if I can find me a replica or something.
It's like that. Rusty and shit. It's like a pretty shitty lamp, actually.
But. I like it. Rounding out the squad, as always, the incomparable DJ Spools. What's happening, brother?
Hello, Michael. How are you, sir? You asked me first. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, man. I'm good. Good to see you, as always.
Hey, man, I want to tell you something. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you could find a lamp just like that.
Okay. Thank you, man.
Or very similar. When's your birthday, Mike?
Birthday September 8th.
Okay, so if you wait 10-11 months, man, I got you.
Thank you, man. I'm gonna try to hold out, bro.
I guess Krima's coming up, so
Krima is coming up. You know, I'll just leave it at that, brother. Krima is coming up, and
Terry will you guys be doing? Will Printfinity be doing another Murray Krima sweater this year, sweatshirt, maybe in a different style? I don't know.
Still got my wife.
If somebody want a quarantine Krima shirt or something like that, I don't know.
All right. Make that happen.
Huh? Something, man. Yeah.
All right.
I don't think it's going to be too many parties to rock the Krima sweater this year. So,
hey, folks is
in collector's item perhaps.
For you.
Folks is out here in these streets, man. I don't know. I don't know if y'all been paying attention to Beyonce's internet, but it's a lot of parties.
And listen,
folks is out in the streets.
I don't see a lot of masks out here in the midst of these parties. But we're just gonna leave it at that. Yeah. But maybe I'm the fool for trying to stay out the way. But we'll find out when these numbers start coming out.
Of course, you're not the fool for trying to stay out of the way.
I'm just saying, the people look at me like I'm crazy when I got family members and stuff. You what you doing? You wearing a mask? Like, you really? I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I mean, China. You can do you. You know, if you, China. You know, you
your family's asking about that.
What type of people do you hang around?
I had a couple. I had a cousin to challenge me. I ain't gonna put about
say that. Like still.
I had a cousin to challenge me that thought, you know, everything was rounding into form. I'm like, nah, it ain't rounding into nothing. You might want to pay attention, bro. Nah, man, I'm telling you, it's straight. I said, all right, you can't make a grown person do anything they don't want to do. So,
hey, that's the problem.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. But the funny thing about it is, I think he's starting to come on back around a little bit now. So, you know,
good.
It is.
That's good.
All right, man. Let's see. What did I have first for today? So, what's up? Well, did I miss something?
No, Eric said, who's throwing a Halloween party this weekend?
Man, do you wear... Hey, E, let me ask you a question since you're in the chat. Shout out to the chat. Nicole is in here. David's in here. I believe Keisha was in here. I hope I don't miss you, brother, to the night. I see you. It's real live here right now. We really appreciate y'all. Let me ask you guys this before we start a topic, since y'all are in the chat. Do you wear a mask underneath your Halloween mask? That's my question. Can anybody answer that? Do you wear a mask underneath your Halloween mask?
Do you want to not be able to breathe at all? No, just skip the Halloween parties, you know?
Skip them, man. This year.
Like, yeah, get like you some, just go ahead and get you some Reese's Pieces and whatever that you like and buy the bag and just stay at home.
Yeah.
You can even dress up.
Sarah and I have been watching a lot of scary movies, man, or Halloween movies. I wouldn't say they're that scary, but yeah.
I've been watching, they're having Halloween marathons. I watched one at my mom's when I was in Anderson, and they were kind of going one through whatever. They get bad towards the end, but classic joints they were playing.
What's the scariest? Let's go around real quick since it is Halloween. Okay. Time. What's the scariest? Like Halloween movie or series to you guys, as far as what actually scared you, not that you didn't think was like hokey or silly, but was actually scary to you. And I'll say for me, it was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because that shit could actually happen. You know what I mean?
Like, okay.
Kind of like, and that's since I was a kid. I remember seeing that shit when I was way too young, you know, because I have an older sister. And
The point.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre always freaked me out. So
that's a really good question.
That is a very good question.
Terry,
go ahead.
Y'all probably gonna laugh at me on this one. I'm just throw it out there because I don't care. I don't give a fuck. When I was a kid, Thriller used to scare the living shit out of me.
Yeah.
I ain't even gonna front. I ain't even gonna front. Especially coming up, you know, you used to seeing Michael Jackson, you know what I'm saying? He's this dancing icon. He was with his brother Jackson 5. The Can You Feel It video was all, you know what I'm saying? Like black righteous spaceman shit. And all of a sudden you see him turning into this goddamn werewolf. And then motherfuckers coming about the ground, and then he turned into this damn zombie. They run into the creepiest house they could find.
Clearly, by far, the creepiest crib you can run into.
As a kid, that fucked me up. But movie-wise, I would have to go with Poltergeist and Amityville Horror Show.
Okay.
Jay Moore.
Okay.
I tell you what, it sounds corny and like I'm trying to do too much, but Get Out. Like,
ooh.
Because I just felt like, yo, that brother was in genuine danger.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It could actually happen.
That would definitely happen.
I said Texas Chainsaw Massacre because it could actually happen.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause like Freddy and all that shit. I mean, I always thought those were funny, even when I was kid. Was a kid.
Sure was.
Scary, dude. But yeah, with Get Out, because like,
is not scary.
Yeah, no, that shit. That he had those one liners. It was more. I mean, and now like even Candyman has become like it's funny, especially to me in Spools. If you watch the Prims movie reviews, so like that's funny to me. But like with Get Out, like. I'm not ruining anything. If you haven't seen Get Out by now, that's on you. Like at the very end where it was like, it looked like he had killed all the white family and you saw those sirens and you'd be like, well, this is the part where the police show up. And like, but it was Lil Rel in the security car and basically took him away from there. And I was like, that was the scariest part of the movie. Cause I was like, oh, the brother's going to jail now for killing all these white people.
When I saw it in the theater, you could hear the whole room go, "Oh no!"
Everybody was elated. Everybody was elated when it was real. It popped out the car.
Yeah, people cheered. I remember that when I was at the theater. Yeah,
I actually started clapping. You know what, Spools? I'm gonna have to based off your
logic. We hear you looking for Candyman, bitch.
Yeah. it was based off your logic for Texas Chainsaw. So I'm gonna have to agree. I'm gonna have to agree with you, man. That shit was scary. Like, I'm gonna have to go with you on that.
And some real, just real quick, Rob Zombie's movies. Like, if I were younger when those came out, they would. I mean, they're they're scary.
House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, and
was Rejects. Yeah, them are some seriously like disturbing movies.
Texas Chainsaw is crazy though. That shit is crazy. Lone, what you got, man? Do you have one?
I can't think of any from like when I was a kid off top of my head, but I can say that Insidious was pretty good.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
But also, what's the movie I was thinking of?
I liked Insidious. They got three of those. There's three?
There's one other one there I was more? Thinking of. I think there's a handful of them. Another good one is The Descent. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's It's also kind of could be like real life, maybe like they go diving down into a cave and then all of a sudden there's like
where it's like the foggy type shit.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
They dive. Yeah, they dive.
I was never really scared of the shit I was supposed to be scared of. Like everybody was scared of, like you said, Freddy and Jason and Michael like Meyer. Chucky and shit like that. That shit didn't scare me. It was more of the shit that. Because like Amityville Horror, that was like a demonic house. So that happened in real life. You know what I'm saying? Poltergeist was, was somewhat similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that type shit creeped me out. It might turn into a goddamn werewolf and was on a whole nother level for me.
We've been watching classic films, like the old ones, like not old, like 30s and 40s, but like
Evil Dead.
Yeah, and we watched Last House on the Left. So I remember my dad telling me about this. Like, it got pulled from the theaters, like after it had come out. Sarah and I watched it, and I had seen it once before. I guess I didn't remember it well, but it's it makes you uncomfortable. It's like it's rapey. And Sarah and I were talking about how like 70s horror films were kind of rapey, and that's one thing that. Always
real damsel in distress
turns my stomach, dude. Like that shit, I can't watch that shit. I really can't. Like it's.
Should I be saying that Freddy was a pedophile?
He was a pedophile.
Yeah. That gave it a whole nother creepy spin, because I never picked that up as a kid. You know what I'm saying? I just thought he was somebody messing with people in their dreams.
They talk about it in the first one, and then like later on, you see him when he was still alive. But yeah, the parents in that neighborhood burned him. Because he was basically kidnapping, and he was a pedophile, and he was killing kids. So
The chat is giving us a lot of stuff. He said The Ring scared the shit out of him. Me too.
Yeah, that was scary.
I mean, CKD.
The Ring was creepy when that chick came out.
Yeah, that was it right there.
Oh, TV.
CKD, shout out to the homie.
Accent per se. The shit he was turning into on Thriller content. Hell yeah. Feeling
Shining.
Man.
Shining. Yeah.
Shining.
That's a good one.
The Gremlins is more... said
Gremlins scared him as a kid.
Which one, Mike?
Gremlins.
Gremlins.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, movies like Gremlins are why they had to do a PG-13 rating, because, you know, for as wild as Gremlins was, it was PG because it went from PG to R.
I'm scared of Gremlins.
Like maybe 1984, 85.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you taking your kid to like a movie and they're like seven, you think, oh, it's Steven Spielberg, and then it's Gremlins getting put in blenders.
Microwaves.
Much.
Yeah, that shit wasn't.
Jake Chromatic and Rob Zombie. When it comes to horror movies, I see Amityville got Poltergeist.
Rob Zombie is when it comes to movies.
Nicole said the OG Night of the Living Dead because everybody dies damn near. Okay.
Yeah, that was wild.
Okay, we appreciate y'all chat. I'm a nerd for Saw. I like the Saw series. I think Jigsaw is that dude. Like, I love the traps. I love how they set everything up. I said I was scared. I just said I like the movie, man. Why are you always doing that?
I was just wondering because we were talking about movies that were scary, per se. But you said I like Saw.
That was about... All right, man. Let me go ahead and get to the topics because that's not what that was about. You trying to play?
It's cool.
Sorry for the detour, but happy Halloween, everybody. Be safe out there.
Jigsaw's that dude though, real talk. All right, let's jump into the rundown. So thought it'd be good to talk about Busta Rhymes has been in the news for, you know, got ELE2, which I cannot wait to hear. I saw the track list. I think it's going to be dope. I have faith in Busta. Lone has always been someone that spoke highly of Busta whenever we bring up rap or talk about anything on the show. But did you guys see where they were talking about where he and T.I. were kind of going back and forth, and T.I. was basically saying that, you know, Busta was from an entirely different generation. They're like 8 years apart. He was talking about, weren't you on the Leaders of the New School and all that type of stuff in relation to doing a versus battle. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, why does that matter if your records can stand the test of time? Like, I don't understand the argument about saying, well, it's a generational gap, so we can't go against each other. Like, I feel like people was trying to play Busta like he doesn't have heat. I think Busta Rhymes has a catalog. You think about features. He's been doing features the last 2 or 3 years with some of the younger kids. And then you think about some of his timeless records. Like, I didn't like that as an out. Like, I'm like, I almost feel like Busta been getting played on the internet, like, doesn't have a crazy catalog. So I'll come to you, JD, first. In terms of that generational gap shit, we talking about the versus culture, and people are talking about that with Busta. Like, his catalog is fucking amazing. Like, did you agree with Tip when he said, nah, I don't want that smoke because you too old? I think he was ducking him. In my personal opinion, I think he was ducking him. It has nothing to do with a generational gap. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
In a sense, like, you got to put it in perspective as far as when they came out. So Tip came on the scene, early 2000s with the I'm Serious album?
Yeah, around early
2000s. Early 2000s. So Busta Rhymes came out like 92, 93.
Yeah, but his first solo album was 96. So
first solo album was about 96.
The first Leaders album.
My first Leaders was like 91, 92. Something like that. And that was fresh out of high school. But I can kind of see it as that. But the thing about Busta Rhymes is he stood the test of time and was able to translate his sound from that time to now. It's kind of like a Jay-Z. When you think of Jay-Z is the same age as Big Daddy Kane. Big Daddy Kane ain't dropping records right now. So essentially he would be used as the generational gap because he's not doing anything that's prevalent or that's relating to kids or youth or even us right now, you know what I'm saying? But a Busta Rhymes, he's been consistent that long, so it's more to me necessarily say Tip was scared. Maybe he's not doing enough education to realize that Busta Rhymes is still one of your peers out here. He really can out rap you, and he's not, I understand he's not in the same lane as far as the type of music they create. Maybe that may have been what he should have said. Hey, I do more trap side. You more of hip hop. You jump in a pop song here.
Maybe that may have been.
Maybe
what he should have said.
I need to go up against somebody that's more suitable to my style versus saying that there's a generational gap. That's where he kind of fucked up because he stood test of time, being able to stick and jab and move in every single generation since he came out.
I can dig that. Spools, jump in there, man. What do you think about that generational gap? I mean, like I said, if the music is hot and it can last the test of time, that shouldn't matter. And I'm seeing a lot of people that's trying to play Busta Rhymes on his catalog. Like, I just didn't understand the train of thought from Tip. What do you think, Spools?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think I agree with Terry when he could have, it would have been better said. But I mean, if Tip doesn't feel this way, he shouldn't say it. But better said is like, you know, more of a style thing. Or, you know, here's what I find super interesting about this, and this might be going too deep with it, but back in the days, I don't know, you know, late or early 2000s, late 90s, maybe before that, and then going back, New York always hate, like the East Coast always hated on the South.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Like, they wouldn't fuck with them, really. And mm-hmm. I think it's funny now that, like, the South, the dude from the South, T.I., you know, now that we're doing this versus shit.
Yeah.
You know, a dude from the East Coast wants to, you know, do one and he's like, nah, You know what I mean? I just think it's kind of interesting in a way. But I think that's I think it's kind of an interesting excuse or an interesting reason on Tip's part. Like, I think it could be a really good versus battle. I mean, no, they're not the same. Like, yes, like a Tip Jeezy or a Tip and Gucci Mane or something like that is what everybody would want to hear. But Tip and Busta Rhymes is kind of like out of left field. Like, I don't know, but that's not really what versus seems to have been trying to do. You know what I mean? Like, pit two completely different people together and see what happens, you know? But, no, that's kind of a lame excuse, the generation thing. I don't know what he's trying to go for. Like, and to your point, Busta Rhymes has been doing it well and, you know, often for a long time. So,
hasn't lost a step.
Let me come to Lone. Lone, you've always, we've talked about verses. You're like, you've been pretty consistent on that. I thought this would be one that would be, more intriguing to you. Would that be fair to say, just because it's a little bit outside of the norm and styles are different? They say styles make fights, but would this have sparked your interest more in relation to verses based on how you normally are about it?
Yeah, for sure, because it's a little bit different. You know, like Busta and TR are two different demographics. So it's right. Like, what is Busta going to play, you know, that's going to match up against this TI record? You know, like, what is TI going to play that's going to match up against Wu-Ha? You know, like, how is this going to, you know, like, it would be at least interesting, you know, like Jeezy, right. TI accepted Jeezy's, you know, challenge.
Invitation. Challenge. Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, that's what we would expect. So it doesn't interest me as much, but, yeah, I mean, I would have been interested. I mean, I'm a Busta fan, you know, like, I think he's highly slept on and underrated. And I think T.I. was respectful, but in a way he tried to clown Busta with a couple things, especially when he said that, you should get somebody of your own generation, like LL Cool J. Like,
thank you.
That's like,
what are you talking about?
Kind of like, what I was meant, man. He's kind of playing him, dude. You know,
he tried to play him on that.
I mean, even so, LL, I even said it in the video that I put out on the channel. I was like, you know, LL was thriving in the mid-80s. Like, Busta Rhymes' first album was 96. Like, we can talk about Leaders of the New School, but Leaders of the New School was not solo Busta Rhymes. It was different. And if T.I. comes out in, like, 2000, right. 2001.
Definitely a different style altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's still different generations in between there. So, like, it's, you know, I don't know. I don't think the generational thing was. I think maybe he just misspoke. You know, I think he was more so speaking to, unless he's only familiar with Busta's old stuff and hasn't been paying attention. But you know, I don't know. Yeah, to answer your question, I definitely would have been more interested in versus if T.I. was a part of it. With Busta.
I'm looking in the chat right now. I see Nicole is out here showing out. She says she thinks T.I. and Busta is a bum matchup style-wise. She also says she heard a bootleg of the Busta. I guess it's pretty dope. For her, that's probably 8 out of 25 tracks or something. And let's see. Who else said something? T.I. didn't want those problems. Eric, I feel you. And he said, let's see. David said, plus Busta switched his style up constantly. He has. He's very versatile. Let's see. Stone Event said it's a marketing decision. Okay. And then Nicole said, y'all acting like Busta have been doing more than features the last few years. And that ain't real.
That's not relevant, I see she
going to be on one in the chat today. It's all good. Busta did plenty in the 2000s. I see you, David.
Jim Moore, man, he's done just as much as T.I. essentially, because, I mean, he's had mixtapes with Q-Tip. T.I., he's had like, what, one or two releases. He's had some mixtapes too. So as far as that's concerned, I think they're equally yoked. I don't think that I understand you as far as style wise though, because when you're using a T.I. versus Busta Rhymes, so you're going to have the people that are big fans of Busta Rhymes that ain't trying to hear the T.I. tracks and vice versa. It doesn't matter how good they sound. They're going to pick the latter because that's who they're riding for. So I can G for that. But as far as being out, Busta's, I think he's been doing just as much as T.I. has in the past few years.
You got a pocket of people, though, that are like what I would consider us for the most part. I like T.I. So there'd be some joints where I would be like, man, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be pro Busta 100% and just saying I don't rock with T.I. Like, T.I. got some heat. So we'd be in that, kind of in that middle. You know what I'm saying? There are, to Terry's point, though, I agree. There's going to be sides. It's like, nah, I ain't fuck with Tip, or nah, I don't fuck with Busta Rhymes. But I would kind of fall in the middle because I like both. So that's why it would be intriguing to me.
I definitely think it's marketing. It's definitely a marketing decision because T.I. just dropped an album and Busta just dropped an album, or is about to. And this would have been perfect promotion for both their albums if they would have done it.
That's fair.
But
to Nicole's point, I think that she was kind of saying, like, this is Busta's first album since 2012. I didn't realize that.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I think that's what she's, maybe not.
I think that's where she's going. Yeah, I see what you're saying, Spools. I'm more jumping here on this generation.
Years. So, yeah.
Yeah, jump in on this generational gap, man. Talk to me about that, because I don't see it as legit. Just, I'd rather say the styles don't match.
I don't think the styles match, and quite honestly, I feel like T.I. did Busta a favor. It sounds crazy to the quote unquote hip hop purist, but you know, when I think about some, you know, when I was going in my head and thinking about some of Busta's singles. Not talking about entire bodies of work, but I'm like, man, that really doesn't hold up. That doesn't hold up. You know, when I think about a song like Break Your Neck, I'm like, that song ain't that don't do it. It doesn't hold up. You know, but when I think about What You Know About That and Top Back and 24s, like, these are songs that still go. And I do think there's a generational gap there, you know, because you don't think that Busta Rhymes would try to break out with like the Scenario remix or PTA. Like, I guarantee you he would dip all the way back into his catalog if you're talking about a battle, because, you know, there are people who are diehard Busta Rhymes fans who would want to hear that. But at the same time,
those records are still dope, right?
I'm not saying that they're not dope, but I'm talking about there are some records that Busta had as singles and things that he might think, okay, this is going to be my number. This is going to be number 15, another 17. I'm like, it might not hold up the same way. You know, because I kind of went down a Busta Rhymes rabbit hole, and there are things that Busta Rhymes never released as singles. I'm like, man, that was dope. But like, yeah, this shit he put out as a single, I'm like, you know, that song, he has a song like Get Out that is almost kind of like, oh, kind of riding that wave of Hard Knock Life. It was the first single, I believe.
I remember that.
You know, but like, who's really played or listened to that song in the 20 years since it was released? And that was a single, you know. You know, but Party Going On Over Here, I think, would be a monster. But like, I don't know if people even remember that song like that. So I don't think it's, you know, people say styles make fights. I honestly believe, for the people who log on to a Versus, like, T.I. would wipe the floor with Busta Rhymes. And I'm a Busta Rhymes fan, more of a Busta Rhymes fan than, you know, you got to think about it. You got to think who's actually going to get on their phone or their computer and watch this particular matchup, and who's really had those songs. Like I said, I'm giving you a few singles that if you go back and listen to, you'd be like, nah, this wasn't it.
Mm-hmm. You're analyzing the crowd and the audience. I'm talking about.
Yes, that's what I do.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, if we talking about jams for jams, now keep in mind, they do take into consideration features. A Busta Rhymes has bought a lot of features on a lot of dope.
And so has T.I.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, that's why I think this is a lot closer and people are trying to make it, because if you want to talk about back catalog, that's fair. I'll concede that, because some of those joints, they may not have the legs. I don't care what you say, if he play, you know, if you think about Big Bang, if he plays New York shit, that's going to go. Touch is going to go. Those joints are going to go.
Touch It, I could see. New York shit, I don't know. Because once again, it's New York shit. And we're talking about the internet, which is worldwide. So there are people going to be like, whatever. I would be like, oh, yeah, that's my shit. But like, everyone else would be like, yeah, all right, if he plays New York shit up to next to What You Know About That, or, you know,
okay,
24s, yeah, or Let's Get Away, is not beaten. New York shit isn't beating any of those T.I. songs. I'm just saying.
But those are the top T.I. songs, you know, like, those wouldn't go up against each other. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm just going off the top of my head, but like, you know, when I went down my T.I. and Busta Rhymes rabbit hole, like, I know there's people in the chat and people are going to hear this. I really think that T.I. did bust her favor by not doing this, because you gotta get out of your New York mindset. He's underground back. Like, yes, Buster was killing it, especially with those first two albums. Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See, and you know, killing it. But we can't act like T.I. wouldn't drop 5 and 6 singles off them. You know, I don't even count. I'm serious, like, because you know that was the album that technically was the flop of his career.
Buster's not Backpack though. You can't put Buster.
But there are people who would be disappointed if he didn't dip into that. And like, that's where he could, once again, styles make fights. He might get caught up in the hype and play something like New York Shit. In this instance, it would be considered Backpack. That wasn't a club banger. That wasn't one of his songs that did big numbers as far as nationwide.
About joints like Respect My Conglomerate with Lil Wayne and Jadakiss. Like, you don't think that'll go? That joint was hard.
I mean, like I said, it depends on what he put it up against, because I think there's about 15 songs T.I. could pull out that wipe the floor with that.
I don't know, man. I think your bias of the club is definitely coming out right now.
I think it is, but
he's in there.
It is, but but also, I think about that's who's going to be getting, you know, when they put out the scorecard and it's what people start marking down, like who won which round. Now, that's the thing. Like me, I just enjoy these so much. Like, I forget to even start marking them down. Like, I've actually enjoyed these just for the quote unquote culture, which is corny. But I really do think if you're talking about who would win and, you know, you got all these millions of people logging on. It might be it. I think it'd be a lot rougher for Busta Rhymes than a lot of people want to admit.
To my homie CAD, he said, "Break Your Neck, Pass the Cavassier, Annie Up Remix, Flavor in Your Ear Remix." He said Clifford would get washed. Those are all jams, by the way. Those are all, especially the Annie Up Remix. I don't care what T.I. play. That's gonna be hard to beat that.
I mean, yeah, those are. I'm not saying they are, but when you start like if T.I. dropped 24 on any one of those, and it might not be a good look.
It might or it might not, though. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's more gray area here, in my personal opinion, than I think a lot of people feel
like, oh, T.I. was scared to go up against Buster. I was like, this is a lot more evenly matched. And I think leaning towards T.I. than a lot of people want to admit to, because Busta is a legend, and I am excited about his new record. But like, I think there's a better matchup out there for Busta.
Nas.
I'd like to see Busta and Redman, even though Redman's output hasn't been what you know in the last few years, but. Busted Redman, I think would be dope.
I think he watched Reggie though, and I love Redman, but I think he watched.
You're out of your fucking mind.
Spools. Remember, you can include those. Remember, Redman got features. Redman got. We talking about albums with Method Man too. He's not. You know, Busta
is not fucking washing Redman.
Spools, talk to me, man. I think Busta watches Redman. Talk to me, Spools. Why not? Because I love Redman.
You just heard what Jay Moore said. You know what I mean? But there's so many. Like, I don't know. And I think I don't know, man. I personally think Redman's washing.
Spools, you said there's
wash Busta Rhymes, but I think he would beat Busta Rhymes.
Spools, I heard you say there are so many.
But you gotta don't get me wrong, I love Redman, but I can't think of like joints.
Oh, so you've got like Tonight's the Night, I think. Wasn't that Redman? Wouldn't he have
you
that?
Just said
Whatever, yeah, sorry, man.
Me whatever, and my man. Brother. You've got Fire. Time for Some Action.
The whole Muddy Waters album.
You've got Rock Wilder. I was just watching. A lot of that shit off the Method Man and Redman album, or a couple of joints at least. Definitely the Rock Wilder.
Album for fire.
I'll be that. Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's just off the top of the head, I guess. But yeah.
Oh no, Spools. I don't disrespect Redman, but I don't know, man. It might get ugly, man. Talk to me, Long. What you think, man? It might get ugly. I don't know.
I could be wrong. I absolutely could be wrong. I but I mean, I like Redman. I like a lot of his stuff. I think he's one of the best rappers ever. But when we're talking like straight catalog, like, but shouts to David in the chat. Method Man and Busta makes way more sense to me than Redman. But I,
that would be
a
good one. Yeah.
But as much as I like Redman, like just the records, man. Like, I don't know, man.
Buddy Waters, come on now.
And Redman's last album was dope front to back. So
yeah. Hell yeah. He's working on a new one. So I fool with Redman. I'm just saying, I don't know. But that's good conversation, y'all. Shout out to the chat, too. The chat is really out here acting a fool. Nicole is acting a fool. I guess I hate Redman. I guess that's what I'm being told. And let me see.
How's
what
it
else
feel, Mike? Going. How's it feel, Mike?
Huh? I see how you feel. Now I see how you feel.
How's it feel to hate Redman? Just like I hate Nas, apparently.
You do hate Nas, but I see what you're doing. Now I know how I feel.
I'd really like a Busta Rhymes and Nas one. I would tune in for that one. I'd be curious about that one.
Oh, point taken, man. I get it. I now get what you're saying because she's slandering me in the chat, low key.
I think what David said would be great. Method Man and Busta Rhymes. Yeah. That'd be dope.
Shout out to Meth, man, getting his bread out here on the acting too with the beard shave. He out here getting that paper. So I ain't mad at that. All right. Yeah,
Busta Rhymes is in Higher Learning.
Yes. Good movie, by the way.
And he was in Finding Forrester.
Don't do that.
That's a deep cut. Yeah,
he was in that. The Halloween Ace. I'm sorry, go ahead.
He was a Halloween H2O too. 20 years later, Michael Myers or something like that. He was in there. Or was that the one with LL? I can't remember. He was in one of those.
I think that was LL.
Yeah.
He was in one of the Halloween movies though. So shout out to
Terry.
Go ahead.
Terry, we got you back.
You back?
Check, what it sound like?
Hey, at least you're here.
Yeah. You're here. You didn't miss.
I have to do a little something else as far as logging in today.
Gotcha.
It's all good. Turned into a trend.
What is the movie that Method Man's in where he shaved his beard and he looks all weird? It's brand
new. Beard's weird.
Was that 187?
Transformer, like bro. That's all. We weren't trying to. It's recent. It's know. Recent. It's
a new one.
Oh.
Somebody was like, this is...
Oh, is it like, the movie? Is it Amy Schumer's movie? That one? I know he's in that.
I'm not sure, but they showed a picture of Method Man without his beard. I didn't recognize him. I didn't know who it was. And I was like, oh, shit, that is Method Man.
No. He's been in The Wire. In a lot of movies, yeah, but I don't.
Getting that paper. I ain't, hey, like Pops. Getting to that paper. Get to it. Shout out to John Witherspoon. All right, man. So that was a good conversation. Okay, since we had the Halloween talk, I'm trying to play the clock. Can we talk, shout out our partners real quick and re-up before we go into something else?
Definitely.
Yeah. Stick around.
We'd like to thank our partners for the New Old Heads podcast. No Bad Ideas Clothing Company, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, Sun King Brewery, and the hub for all things New Old Heads, bringingdowntheband.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
All right, so let's get back into the rundown that we had there. Let's see, what else we got going on? Oh, okay. So shout out to my man, Nate Jeezy. Out east, my man's out in Maryland. We were talking about the recent Griselda movement, or just the Benny album, and I think you can apply this concept to just hip hop in general. But we use Griselda as an example. We're having a conversation about their success and things of that nature, and he mentioned something to the effect of the nostalgic sound that they have is predominantly the reason why they are, quote unquote, successful, or the way that they're moving and everything is moving so well. And I told him I've been to 2 Griselda shows and 60% of the crowd was 20-year-olds. Like when I went in there, like it was a lot of people our age in there too, but it wasn't just a room full of people that were old. Like it was a lot of kids in there that were loving that, loving what they were bringing. So I guess my question to you guys is, you know, the a nostalgic sound in hip hop is sometimes looked down upon. Like, nobody want to hear that old shit, or why does it sound like this? And we don't want to hear anything that reminds us of the golden era, or there's many ways that you can spin it. I've heard it all. Is a nostalgic sound necessarily a bad thing for hip hop? If we look at it as an ecosystem and balance and rap music and all that type of stuff, is that a bad thing? Like, I don't think it's a bad thing to dip into, you know, certain eras and try to bring a certain vibe back. You know, especially with Hit-Boy and Benny, I think they put a new spin on it from a normal Griselda sound. But I don't. It doesn't strike me as a bad thing. But I do that. And Spools, I come to you first because you actually one of the people that put me on to Griselda. Like, is a nostalgic sound, is that a bad thing?
I don't think so, man. Like in music, like in general, like it seems to be. I don't know why it is. Not always looked upon very well in hip hop. You know, maybe it's because hip hop is something that's just constantly evolving, like all the time, like maybe more so than other genres. You know, I don't know, you know,
right.
But no, man, I think that it's not like, and what's interesting, it's not like Benny's copying 20 years ago or 25 years ago or 30 years ago. You know what I mean? It's just this concept or this label that we attach to the way he rhymes because it's so reminiscent of when. Really being, I guess, what people just call now generally lyrical was important, more important back then. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So yeah. That's my opinion, yeah. At least. So, no, I don't think it's bad at all. And I guess I don't always understand. Here's one thing, right? So playing devil's advocate, it holds the art form back. Like doing that for some reason, like it slows it down or holds it back. And again, I would say it doesn't, because he doesn't sound exactly like people from 25, 30 years ago. Like it's different. It just has this flavor to it. That's again, reminiscent of an earlier time. So no, man, I don't think it's bad at all. So
I think reminiscent, like you said, I think that's perfect. Like I'm not like, he's not saying that he hates Griselda. We just were having a conversation, but
you can like whatever you want. Like I don't have a problem. Yeah. I like him a lot and have for a long time, but if you don't, that's cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's all good. I don't care. But overall, just to the question, no, I don't think that there's an issue with nostalgia at all. I think it's a good thing. I think it reinforces aspects of the culture. So yeah.
And I think people jump out the window when it sounds, you know, they'll take it all the way there when it reminds you of versus actually sounding exactly like. Those are two different things.
Yeah, well, hip hop's like that too. I mean, and it, I guess it occurs in other genres, you could say, but like the concept of copying someone's style or you sound like this, for, you know what I mean? Like that's a big deal. It's a really big deal, you know? I mean, again, it's that way, I guess you could say, in other genres. But again, sometimes, I mean, I say that a lot, but I don't like, comparing, I feel like hip hop's just its own thing, man. Like it's not like other genres necessarily, but it, in some ways it is.
I can dig it. Lone, jump in there, man. Where are you at on this?
Why is it nostalgic? You know what I mean? Like because the production is sounds like something that was similar in the 90s because they're like one of the common sense because they rap like drug dealers. Like, is that, I feel like they are different. I kind of get it, but I think it's kind of a lazy argument to be honest. Even the sample stuff that they kind of made popular again on the underground stuff is reminiscent in a way of like heavy sample loops, minimalistic production, and leaving space for the artist over some eerie type of stuff. So I kind of get that a little bit, I guess, if you're relating it to like a Mobb Deep or something, but like it's so much different, you know, and if you actually listen to what they're talking about and where they're from, it's not, you know, they're just talking about their lives. It's not like they're trying to like mimic somebody from 1993 or 94, you know? So I don't know. That's
where I'm at with it.
That's just how I feel.
That's where I'm at with it. There's one thing to remind you of something. There's another thing to say, you know, it's completely that. You know what I mean? J-Div, jump in there, man. Just from a nostalgic feel. Is that a bad thing? Good thing?
I'm gonna put it like this. I've said before that the production that Derringer and what's my guy's name?
Alchemist.
Not Alchemist.
The other one. Can't remember his name. Anyway, their producer style is like a polished RZA. Like I hear, like, if RZA was still making beats that sounded decent, you know what I'm saying? Because I ain't taking nothing away from him, but his sound is kind of, you know, it's
long. He took the wrong turn.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like where he should have been at this point, if I were to put it anything to where a nostalgia would be. But comparing them, the sound wise, it's really not, it doesn't sound old school. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like the comparison of, just because Shine is white, you compare him to Eminem and he sounds nothing like Eminem. You know what I'm saying? It's the apples and oranges type of thing. I do like the fact that they're a crew that is constantly putting out quality material. Even that new Benny doesn't sound like anything that Griselda has put out. It's like it totally went left field as far as the sound is concerned.
Interestingly, though, go ahead.
That one, in my opinion, kind of sounds like an early 2000s Jay-Z feel. It doesn't sound like it, but it gives me that feel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But essentially, it's not old sounding. It's still polished. It's still fresh. But I do understand you want to throw on some Tims and a bubble coat or something because it puts you back in that position you was in 95, 96.
Okay. What were you going to say, Long, before I thought you were going to jump in there before I go to Jay?
Yeah, I was. Exactly what Terry said. I was going to say it sounded more like 2000-ish Jay-Z records, like rock records. Sound like Just Blaze a little bit, you know, like similar. So I got that nostalgic feeling from it, I guess, a little bit, you know, but it wasn't, it didn't sound like that's what they were necessarily going for or like they were trying to bite anything. It just sounded like that's what it sounded like.
Jay Moore, talk to me, man. Talk to me about the retro vibes.
See, I don't really get a retro vibe. You know, I mean, people talk about that whole Griselda movement almost like they're doing Wu-Tang, Mobb Deep, Nas, Jay-Z cosplay. And I don't really see that. You know, I think that they, like I said, they're speaking from their own experiences. And you got to remember that these aren't young guys. Like, it's not like they're relatively true. New as far as the public consciousness is concerned.
That's a great point, Jay.
You know, but this is not like they're these 19, 20, 21 year old guys who are out here rapping on the radio right now. Like, you know, these guys have, you know, they've lived real life and served some real hard time, you know, and to get back and to do this music thing, you know, it's from their experience and from what they probably enjoy listening to, you know. So I've never really, but I feel like it feels like today, like just because there are some chopped up soul samples, I mean, that's not something that had to be stuck in 1994 or whatever. And just because, like, you know, Benny actually tries to put some words together, I guess that's retro because he's trying to rap, you know, and that, you know, everything that they rhyme about doesn't make it seem like the sun is shining outside. I know that seems like it's a little different if you contrast it to what you may hear on the radio, just because, like, you know, these new rappers and / R&B singers or whatever, all they do is, you know, take women on vacations and go to the strip club, you know? And so, like, you don't, I mean, and don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if that's how you live in, but, you know, sometimes I came up on, there's a lot of hip hop I like that I don't mind that it sounds like kind of like a cloudy day. And I think that might be what makes it seem so retro, because everything is, you know, if you're looking at it from a popular music standpoint, you wouldn't think there are really any problems outside, you know. And I don't, you know, you don't get that vibe from the whole Griselda camp. Well, they, you know, mind you, they still say some wild shit too, you know, like, you know, cooking a brick in the air fryer and all that, you know.
I knew you.
But you know, they still a little outrageous with. But you know, you need that
white on my brick.
So you know, they still there's some time they still enjoying themselves. You know, I can tell. But you know, I don't think it's fair to brand them with this retro vibe, because then it makes it seem like, oh, why would anybody under the age of like 37 try to get into their music? You know, it almost puts them in a space to where, you know, if you tell somebody 19 years old about some retro hip hop, they'd be like, I'm not listening to that. And yeah, I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. Conductor Williams is actually the producer that I was thinking about. Actually, the cool thing about Griselda is a lot of their stuff ain't even samples.
Mm-hmm.
These is like,
they get replayed,
all original instrumentation and replayed. You know what I'm saying? So they're actually taking it a step further.
One of West Side Guns projects, Lone, what is the producer's name? You know who I'm talking about, that collab with Derringer to make the original joints. The whole project.
B Butcher from New York. He's really dope. And they just had him like redo some stuff, which is, at least that's my guess.
On YouTube or something. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really, really talented.
Yeah, it takes the level of talent to be able to recreate that sound from an arrangement standpoint, and for him to replay and try to play certain things for it to come out and still sound like that. To me, Lone knows that's super impressive to me. Like that, them to be able to go through there and him to be able to replay certain stuff and they can still chop it up. Like he get high marks from me on that, because I know how hard that shit is, man. Like to go no sample and still have that vibe. So,
yep.
No, man, that's dope. Like, I think I agree with what everybody is saying. It's just a good conversation. The chat is pretty much on the same thing. I think they're looking at us like we crazy when I said mute. I'm crazy when I said nostalgic. Okay, they going through there. Yeah,
I mean, good point. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. I understand that point. But at the same time, if you wasn't there, if you haven't been constantly listening to music and hearing how it evolved and how it still sounds fresh and polished, yeah, I can see you saying that it is old or a nod to old, whatnot.
Yeah, like some of these things though, like some of these chops, some of these projects, I'm like, to Spools' point, there are elements there, but it's not, none of this shit sounds like Mobb Deep. Like you can pull elements from anything. None of this shit sounds like Wu-Tang Forever. It doesn't sound like that. You know what I'm saying? Like there's elements with the sampling and the looping, I get that, but I don't hear anything that sounds like only built for Cuban Links.
You know what's interesting is here's a huge difference, I think, between the two, and this isn't taking anything away from Griselda at all. But Griselda doesn't really do like story raps, man. You know what I mean? Like none of those cats really do that. Like you don't hear that much in hip hop, at least, you know, in anything really popular anymore, you know, but Prodigy, Havoc, right, you know, Wu-Tang, they told really good stories, man. They did it really well. You know, it's just a difference in what they rhyme about. So again, not taking anything away from anyone. But.
And you can definitely tell that when, what was it, West Side Guns album where he had Slick Rick on it twice,
right.
I mean, that's how Rick raps. So it's like you can hear the contrast really, serious. Like when it features somebody who is from that era.
I mean, that's what I'm saying is like, and Griselda's still, they're still really fucking dope. Like,
yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, but, and that's kind of the point I'm making is like, it's not, or that we're all making, I think, is that they don't sound like them, like Mobb Deep. They don't, but it's just reminiscent of, you know?
Yeah. Reminiscent is the word that I would take from this conversation. Like it reminds you of it, but you know, just completely say that's the reason I'm like, nah, I've been out here. I've seen some of these shows and you know, it's just, their vibe is, their success is bigger than just that. I couldn't label their success as just that. There's no way I could do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Based off the projects and the stuff that they've put out, I think that's an unfair assessment in my opinion. You can't just put that on them.
And I get it. I mean, their testament would be K consistency as well too. I mean, because they're literally a machine. They don't stop. They constantly keep hitting you with projects. I was actually talking to Bo about this a couple of days ago, how you have these artists that are putting out these 20 song projects, but then you have Griselda that are breaking it up down in the to something consumable, something you can digest and be ready for something new. You know what I'm saying? So their formula is working for them. The sound sounds good. And I mean, they're dope artists.
Yep.
Consistency is key.
Yeah. Yeah. West Side Gun is the A&R of 2020.
Yeah, man. Like he's, you know, like I always tell people, West Side Gun, he's not the most lyrical out the crew. He's not the this, he's not the that. But you can tell that he is like he has his imprint on anything that they do. You can tell just by how the product comes out. Like what they're doing is working. It works.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they found a niche, they've carved it out, and it's been successful. Like, you know, you just gotta show love. You know what I mean? I think it actually helps with the balance. You know what I'm saying? Because now it's nowhere near as balanced as it used to be. You know, and for them to be able to come in and just carve out a lane and be somewhat, I ain't gonna say popular, but be relevant in that lane, that does help with the balance, because the copycat level now is ridiculous. Everything sounds the same. So I think there's value in them having like an alternate sound. Right. There's a value in that. You know what I'm saying? So
what Benny say? He the only new rapper that that can go in Tupac in the same mirror as Tupac or something like that, he said.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, these cats was pretty much in high school the same time we was in high school.
Yeah,
we're not that much older than them. Not that much older than them. So I just to wrap it up before we get out of here, I actually pulled up the track list for the Busta Rhymes. We mentioned Busta earlier. But he has, when you talk about features, now I've always been a person, I've been consistent. The long albums, the 22, 21 track joints with a bunch of features, I tend to shy away from those because I don't know if everybody can pull that off. With this one, I feel like I have more faith in Busta. He's got Rick Ross, Anderson .Paak, been on the single, Rhapsody, Mariah Carey, Kendrick is on there. It's probably the first Kendrick verse we hear of this year, actually, if you think about it. Mary J. Blige, ODB actually is on here. Bell Biv DeVoe is on here. M.O.P. is on here. Chris Rock, Rakim, and Pete Rock are on the intro. Like, the album based off Q-Tip. Sorry, I missed Tip. Yep. So based off that alone, like, I am very excited and super curious to see how this comes out. Like, I really want to see what they do with this one. So we shall see. I think it drops this Friday. I know Nicole already said she had the bootleg. So if it's 22 joints on her scale, she probably liked 5 or 6 of them if I was to go with her scale. But is there anything else that I forgot, y'all, before we get out of here?
Nope.
I mean,
I don't think so.
Man, I mean, next time you see us, though, there will have been an election. If you watch the pre-show, we'll actually be doing a pre-show during the results. So this next couple weeks is about to be interesting.
Hey, it's funny that it's crazy that you said that, but I remember us working on the episode and coming out and watching results 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Here we are again, virtually, like, it's when we started. So it'll be, I'm very curious to see what happens. I got to go do my due diligence this weekend. Hopefully I can avoid them long ass lines we were talking about in the pre-show. You know, if you can get out there and vote, it's very important. This is a very important election. Like Terry said, either way, some shit going to happen, but you know, you can get out there and get to them polls and vote. If you can make the effort, even with the long lines, try to hang in there if you can. I know Spools had a situation where the lines were ridiculous, but you can't get out there, you know, voice your opinion. So it's going to be needed. So we'll see. I think that will do it for this episode. As always, remember to go to YouTube, subscribe to Bringing Down the Band, and also the new Old Heads page. It's a network page. We need subscriptions there. Trying to get to 100 people so we can change that URL and open up a bag of other things that will give us access to. You can also follow us on Patreon. Make sure you follow New Old Heads on Twitter. Follow us everywhere. Instagram. Followers and supporters as possible to keep the movement going. Those that love us, we appreciate y'all. Those that don't, keep watching. We'll continue to make you mad. And I think that is it. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.
Goodbye.
In a minute.